Hey everyone, thanks so much for joining us. My name is Rudy Nicaru, and today I'm going to be sharing on partnership. Do you know in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church and he says that God has invited us into partnership with his son, Jesus Christ. This is not an invitation into partnership with just anything or anyone. We get invited into partnership with Jesus Christ himself. This is incredible. I hope you enjoy it. Check this out.
Well, happy new year. Happy new year, everybody. 2016. We're here. Anyone excited to be in 2016? I'm happy to be here. We're going to have an incredible year. And you know that God has spoken through our pastors that this year is going to be the year of overflow. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty good to me. I like the sound of the year of overflow. And I want to encourage you, maybe you're here for the first time or the thousandth time, but I want to encourage you, don't look back. Let's look forward into everything God's got for us. A year of overflow coming up. God wants to bring overflow in your life. Do you know, just as I've been thinking about it and praying about it over the past week or so, I was looking it up. Overflow means this, means to be filled or supplied with in great measure. Not normal measure, great measure. It means to flow or run over as rivers of water. It means to have the contents flowing over or spilling as in an overfull container. That's the kind of year I want. An overfull year, an overflow year. Is anyone in agreement with that? You know, one of the scriptures that many of us would know from the Bible, Psalm 23, says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Somebody say overflows. "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You know, it can be easy to look back and dwell on the valleys. It can be easy to go through the valleys and get stuck there, but I want to encourage you this morning to look up, to see that in the future, God's got your cup overflowing. Amen, somebody. Many of us 10 days ago have made resolutions for the new year. I wonder how many of you have been in the gym a bit more this week, eating a little bit better this week, doing some things differently. Personally, I really enjoyed Pastor Anna's advice. She Instagrammed this, I think on New Year's Day. Picture of me. There it is. Diet day one. I've removed all the bad food from the house. It was delicious. That's good advice right there. Come on, somebody. But a lot of advice I saw about how to keep resolutions, how to make New Year's resolutions and keep them, you know, saying motivational things like write down your goals, celebrate small victories. But a lot of them said this: include other people, do it with others, partner with others. I'm not sure what you want differently from 2015. But this time of year, many of us are focused forward, faith-filled for the new year and all that God has for us. And today, I want to speak about partnership. The greatest partnership of all, of course. Partnership with God. So come on, why don't we pray before we start? God, we thank you for your presence that is already here. God, we thank you that we get this opportunity to meet together, to have an incredible church, incredible friends, incredible people. And God, more than all, we thank you for your incredible power, God. Lord, I thank you for the power that is in your word, Lord, that you promise every time it is declared, it will accomplish everything for which it was sent. And so God, we're praying today, God, that you would send your word into our hearts. God, that you would send your revelation into our hearts. God, we thank you now for changing us, for shaping us, for molding us. Holy Spirit, come and begin to move upon each and every one of us even right now. God, we don't want to walk out of here the same way this morning, but God, we give you full permission to come and do whatever you want to do today. And if you believe that, church, would you join me and say amen? Amen. Partnership. Partnership. I want to talk today about the power of partnership. You know, I've been doing a lot more weddings recently. I just got my credentials and my license to marry people, and so, you know, being the Planet Uni student pastor, there's a lot of people that are getting married. Hallelujah, somebody. There's a lot more that still need to get married. Come on, gentlemen, pick up your game. But a verse that is used a lot in weddings, Ecclesiastes chapter 4 says this: a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three, however, are even better. For a triple braided cord is not easily broken, or a cord of three strands is not easily broken. Of course, that's talking about the power of partnership, the power of togetherness with Jesus in the center of it all. And this verse here, it's got great application in marriage, but it's not limited to marriage alone. God is talking to us about the power of partnership. The verse I really want to kind of bounce out of today, as I was reading, studying this week, around 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says this, some incredible promises. Now, you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be free from all blame on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says. And check this out. And he has invited you into partnership with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What an invitation. God has invited us into partnership with Jesus. And this is an incredible invitation. We're not partnering with just anyone. We get an invitation to partner with Jesus himself. Now, God, it's crazy to think that God has chosen to partner with us. God created the world. He could have created it any way he wanted. He could have created a world where he just shows up and does what he wants and we get to watch, and that would be cool too. But instead, he has chosen to partner with us in what he would do here on earth. What an incredible invitation. The question is, what does partnership mean? That in everything God does, he wants to be our partner, fully invested, fully committed, full of power and provision. And let's be honest, he's the greatest partner of all. He's the one who brings the super to our natural. He's the one that brings the more than to our enough. He's the greatest partner that we could ever dream of working with. God has partnership in mind. Not us going out and doing things in life to please him. He wants to go out with us. It's not where we come on a Sunday and get filled and then we go out into our week alone and have to last 7 days until we can meet him again. This is a partnership that God has in mind. What does that mean? It means that you're not raising kids on your own. It means you're raising kids with God as your partner there. It means that we're not trying to have great marriages all on our own. It means that we get to have great marriages partnered with God. It means that we're not going to work on our own, that our business partner is God himself. What a great partner. It means that we're not studying alone, students. God's studying with us. Great testimony that I heard late last year. One of our students was, came to church on a Sunday with an exam the next day. Hello, somebody. That's biblical. And they'd studied hard, but, they came to church and then they stayed up late studying that night. And they went to bed, but their alarm got switched off in the middle of the night and they slept in. So they woke up freaking out. They're going, oh, God, you got to help me. And Holy Spirit's like, it's all right. Just calm down. Everything's going to be fine. The exam is delayed. They're like, what? And so they get ready, they rush, and they run to the building, and true to word, the exam was delayed by half an hour. There was a power problem. And so they showed up, they had about 15 minutes spare, and they're like, all right, God, what do we do? And God's like, we'll study this, this, and this. And so they revised three more things, and those were the exact things that were in the exam. That's the power of partnership. Hello, somebody. Who wants to do a university degree with God helping you out? This is God's invitation into partnership with us. Pastor Sam preached it last year, that God doesn't just want a visitation, he wants a habitation with us. His invitation in life is not that we go out and do things alone, that we go out to please him. No, he wants to go everywhere with us, every step of our life, every day, every moment. God's invitation is, hey, you can do this with him. What a great invitation. An invitation into partnership. And oh, the gifts that come along with partnership with God. The gifts that he has stored up with us. This is a verse that I read many years ago and it's always stuck with me. I love this verse, Proverbs 25 verse 2. It says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, the glory of kings to search it out. Well, what does that mean? I don't see anyone in here wearing a crown this morning. God's hiding things from people. It's not very nice. But think of it like this. It's like a parent on the morning of a birthday of the child that they've got. and they've got gifts, or maybe even on Easter morning, you know, Easter's coming up. I know that because hot cross buns are already out in the shops. I love hot cross buns. Second best thing about Easter besides Jesus. Woo! Chocolate ones, come on, someone. So Easter morning, kids wake up. And when they're like 18 months old, you might hide like a chocolate bunny right here. And then it's the joy of that child as they search everywhere looking for it. As an adult, you're like, what a stupid kid. It's right there. But there's great joy in it as the kid is growing up and they discover it and there's squeals of joy. Of course, as we get older and more mature, the hiding gets a little bit more elaborate and you've got to get like, you know, a harness and a rope and it's sitting up there somewhere and mum and dad have gone to all this effort. That's what that verse means. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, a gift. It's the glory of kings. It's the joy of a king. Now, who is the kings? That's us. That's why Jesus is called the King of Kings. It's our glory, it's our joy to be able to search out the things our greatest partner has for us. Do you know God has gifts for you this morning? And when we come in here into a time of worship, what a glorious occasion where we get to search out the great gifts that He has for us in His presence. Every moment of every day, God has got things laid up waiting for us. I was reading a quote online from a preacher this week. That he had a vision. It's just an illustration. It's not in the Bible. It's just a thought. But he had this vision of him up in heaven walking along with Holy Spirit. And there was this big warehouse. He's like, what's in there? And he's like, oh, you don't want to know. He's like, no, what's in there? And opens the door and there's all these boxes of gifts perfectly wrapped. And God responded to him and said, they were all the gifts that no one ever sought out. Now, it's not in the Bible, but that's a crazy thought. That God has gifts for us, laid up waiting every moment of every day. That's the kind of partner that God is. The partner with gifts, that's a good partner right there. But how do we live in partnership? If this is partnership with God, how do we live in partnership? You know, God created us to be in partnership, in community. God Himself is in community. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one. Perfect unity, perfect partnership. God is a model of partnership. And partnership with each other is important, of course. That's why the Apostle Paul would encourage us, do not give up the practice of meeting together. That's coming to church every week. That's urban life. And partnership with people is important, but my focus today is partnership with God, inviting Him into our everyday, into our every moment. At work, partnership with God. Great Christian preacher and author Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, when we work. But when we pray, God works. We get to partner with Him every moment of every day. When life gets hard, we got to remember we're partnering with Him. An impossible situation is simply an opportunity for our partner to move in power. And you know, it's so simple, but I think so often we ask God to bless what we're doing rather than to stay on board with what He wants to do through us. We can get busy sometimes and take over the partnership. We can feel like things have to be fixed and we take over the partnership. We've prayed to God to do something, but it doesn't look like He's answered, so we take over the partnership. And sometimes it can be so easy to take over the partnership and let God take a backseat. We can be inspired in a moment, but when life circumstances shout for our attention, when difficulty demands our focus, we can all of a sudden take control of that partnership, take over. It can be natural to respond ourselves. It can be normal to work hard in our own strength. But I don't know about you, friend. I don't want a natural life. I don't want normal kind of life. I want the supernatural life of partnership that God has for me. Sometimes, I don't know about you, things don't always go the way you think they will. I don't know if you've ever had something that's not gone the way you thought it would in life. Maybe something last year didn't go the way you thought it was. Anyone here ever had something not go the way you thought it would? Years ago, when church was first starting, our offices were located in a suburb called Box Hill. And one of my jobs, something that I did to earn extra money and just to get by and buy food and eat, was I was a Planet Shaker's office janitor. I was the cleaner. Now let me just tell you right now,
If you want to know if boys' toilets or girls' toilets are dirtier, girls' toilets, hands down. Boys' toilets are way better. But I was the office janitor. And so every Sunday after church, we'd pack the whole PA up, pack it into a truck, and then I'd go to the office and clean the office and the desks and empty the trash and clean the bathrooms, getting ready for another great work of God, doing great things. And, you know, we're pioneering a church. It was so exciting. And the church was growing. Staff was growing, offices were getting filled, and came time to move offices because we'd outgrown our original ones. And so I was involved in the youth ministry, Planet Boom. I was involved in our School of Creative Arts and involved in different things. And so we dutifully packed up everything, packed up the youth office, packed up the School of Creative Arts office. We move it down, you know, a couple of kilometers away into Surrey Hills, into our new offices, and we're getting ready. It's exciting. We're growing. We're outgrowing where we were. And we were handing the keys back on a Friday morning at 9 a.m. And I remember Thursday lunchtime, I got a phone call from our office manager. He said, "Hey, Rudy." I said, "Hey, office manager." He said, you know, we're moving offices." I said, "I know, it's so exciting." He goes, "Yeah, it is." He goes, "You know how you're the office cleaner?" I said, "Yes, I do." He goes, "Well, we got to get the carpet steam cleaned." I said, "Fantastic." He goes, "You got to get them done by 9 a.m. tomorrow morning." Like, thanks for the notice, office manager. He's not the office manager anymore. There's a reason for that. So there I was. I had a full afternoon and we were running Urban Life meetings that night. And so I was literally busy until about 10 o'clock that night. But I'm like, well, I'm the office janitor. It's my job. I'm going to get it done no matter what it takes. So I don't know if you've ever been to the supermarket, and right at the front of the supermarket, there's those steam cleaners that you can hire. First class, I'm telling you. That's all I had time for. So about 10 o'clock at night, I went to Tunstall Square, which was a 24-hour supermarket back then, and I went to Coles, and while I was there, because, you know, I think ahead a lot, I thought, well, there's a shower at the offices, so I'm going to buy a towel and buy some soap. I'm going to clean up afterwards. I'm going to feel so good. And bought some snacks for the night and then hired my little steam cleaner, loaded it into the car, pulled up to the offices about midnight, load everything out of the car, up into the office, get everything set up, had a snack there, had a drink there, had a new towel, and ready to go. Plug this thing on, in to you know, pour the detergent in, get it all ready, switch it on, and then we go. Just up and down. After about 5 minutes of doing this, cleaned about an area about this size. After about 5 minutes, remember, because I think ahead, I'm a rather smart individual, this particular steam cleaner was spraying water up the back. So as I'm just going along like this, my legs are just getting sprayed with all this dirty water. I'm like, this is stupid. No one's here. It's like 12:30 at night. So I walk to the windows. I shut the blinds. Yeah, you're up on like level two, right? Take my pants off. Go again. So there I am in my tidy whities at midnight and just going. As the hours go by, you know, my tidy whities are turning into like wet brownies as this water's just kind of spraying up on my legs and just getting everywhere. But that carpet was getting clean. So there I am, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock. Finally, I cleaned every corner of that office. First guy, I wasn't going to skimp anything. I'm like, I'm the office janitor. We're getting this done. So we got it done. It's about 3:30 in the morning. I finally wrap up and pack everything up. And I'm like, all right, this is the moment I've been waiting for. Time for a shower. So grab my towel and walk out of the office door and into the hallway and have a shower. And let me tell you, it was glorious. When you've worked that hard late at night, middle of the night, it's like, oh, this is the best thing ever. So had a lovely shower, put my shirt back on, wrap my towel around me. I walk out into the hallway to the office door, and I got to pin my number into the office door to unlock the door. But where there was a pin pad previously, now there was a hole in the wall. Because not only had they taken all the computers, they'd decided to take all the pin pads to the new location as well. So there I was with a hole in the wall, a pin number, but no pin pad, and the door was locked. My phone was on the inside. My keys were on the inside. Pants were on the inside. Now,
Here's the issue. Have we got any of my Asian friends here this morning? Because the offices were located in Box Hill, not Doncaster or Footscray, for example, but Box Hill. Box Hill, we have quite a few of our Asian friends that live in Box Hill. And if you've ever been to Box Hill, there's like dumpling place, noodle place, dumpling place, noodle place, and then some kind of Hong Kong dessert place. And I love that during the day. But for some reason, at 4 o'clock in the morning, normal people would be asleep. But all of Box Hill was out getting supper. So I had to run out onto the road with no pants on, trying to find a phone box, just so I can call my dear friend, Pastor Andy, reverse charge call his mobile and say, hey, I need some pants. And I was there, I was running down Station Street. It was like peak hour on Russell Street in the city. Any other suburb in Melbourne, I would have been fine. But Box Hill, people everywhere. That was a night when things didn't really go the way I'd planned them going. My greatest advice for you moving forward into 2016 is if things don't go the way you think they might, keep your pants on. You know, when we're with God, things don't always go the way we think they're going to go. They might not always look good to us in the natural. Things don't always pan out the way we think they do. Let me show you in the Bible some things where people had partnered with God. There's a story of a man named Elisha. He's a great prophet and saw many miracles. And he was there with his servant one day. And it says this in 2 Kings chapter 6. It says, one night, the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. He was chasing after the man of God. That's what he was doing. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. And he starts freaking out. He knew that they'd come to kill him. He says, sir, what will we do now? The young man cried to Elisha. Do not be afraid, Elisha told him, for there are many more on our side than theirs. And it make any sense. They're sitting there, just the two of them, facing a great army. And check out this next verse. It says, then Elisha prayed, oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see. And then the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. What happened here was you had the servant that was looking in the natural and the man of God that saw in the spirit exactly what God was up to. How often can we see things in the natural and freak out about all the obstacles in our way? But we got to be people of faith who trust our great partner, Jesus, and say, you know what, Jesus, I'm partnered with you. So as long as I'm standing with you, I know greater is he that's with me than anything I'm facing. There's power in who you partner with. Take another example, the man of God, Daniel. What a great partner of God he was. Daniel's the man who would rather spend a night with the lions than to miss a day in prayer with his greatest partner. And there was an occasion when Daniel was down by the side of the river praying and fasting, and he was down there for 21 days, the Bible tells us, just praying, crying out to God, didn't hear a thing. But it says this in Daniel chapter 10, it says, then he said, an angel appeared to Daniel on the 21st day. And he said, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come as an answer to your prayer. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, hello. That's my real name, by the way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now I'm here to explain what will happen to your people in the future, for this vision concerns a time yet to come. See, Daniel was there praying and didn't get an answer to prayer for 3 weeks. Sometimes we freak out if we don't get an answer from God in 3 minutes. Daniel was there praying for 3 whole weeks. He's a great man of God, prayed every day. Didn't hear from God for 3 weeks. But he kept praying, kept trusting his partner, kept trusting God, prayed and prayed and prayed. And on the 21st day, the angel came and said, by the way, on the very first day you prayed, the answer was sent. It was held up there for a while because we do not battle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. But he kept praying and the answer made its way all the way to him on the riverside. there's power in who we partner with. Are you ready for one more story? Take Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That Isaac. Isaac in the book of Genesis, he's a farmer, a businessman, you could call him. And there was a famine in the land where Isaac lived. But instead of moving away, he trusted God. He partnered with God. And check this out. Genesis 26, verse 1 and 2, it says, there was a famine in the land, besides the previous famine. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to Isaac and says, do not go down to Egypt. Live where I tell you to live. So he stayed where God had called him to stay. And this gets awesome though. 10 verses later, says in verse 12, Isaac planted crops in that land. That makes no sense. Isn't it a year of drought? It would make no sense to plant crops. Isaac planted crops in that land and the same year reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. He didn't get like a 10% increase. He didn't get like a 23%. He got a 100-fold increase of what he planted. Isaac was a man who partnered with God and trusted God to stay where God had put him and still was faithful to sow, no matter what it looked like in the natural. You know, a lot of time partnering with God doesn't always look the way we would like it to look up here. But when we partner with the greatest partner of all, the things that we can see are beyond our wildest dreams. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, mind has not imagined the things God has in store for you this year, Planet Shakers. It's a year of overflow. This is what your partner Jesus wants to take you into. It's not a year of the natural. It's a year of overflow pouring out in every year area. The keys can come. You see, I'd add one more little illustration. There's a man of God in the Bible in the book of Acts. His name was Stephen. He was a waiter. He was in hospitality. He ran the food program for the church. That's it. That's all he did. But he partnered with God and saw miracles. It says in Acts chapter 6 verse 8, now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. He wasn't the preacher. He wasn't a businessman. He wasn't a doctor. He was a waiter. But you know what? It doesn't matter what your vocation is. God's not judging you on your pay packet. It doesn't matter where you happen to work, whether you're a businessman like Isaac, whether you're in politics and government employment like Daniel was, whether you're in hospitality like Stephen. God wants to use you wherever you're at. God wants to partner with you every moment of every day. It might be in business. It might be in serving. It might be in honoring your boss. It might be in praying for the dreams of your king. It might be wherever you may find yourself, God wants to partner with you. Every moment of every day is the greatest partnership we can be in. We've got a motorbike on stage here. Don't know if you noticed that. I got my motorbike license a few weeks ago. So go easy on me if you see me on the road. But this is Joth's motorbike. It's pretty rad. But it's amazing on a bike how free your vision is. You can kind of see everywhere. You don't have, you know, the roof of the car over you. It's also dangerous. A friend of mine's dad calls motorcycle riders spare parts. I'm not planning on becoming that. But sitting on this motorbike, you can kind of see everywhere. But you know, just like in a car, there's these tiny little things here called rear view mirrors. Now, I know ladies that you use them to do your makeup, and guys, we check our teeth after a meal, but really, they're for looking behind us. And when I went to get my license, they teach you that wherever you look, that's where you're gonna go. It would be crazy to see a motorbike rider riding along doing this, just looking behind him the whole time. They're tiny. That's not what they're designed for. And I'm telling you that if you ride like this, just looking backwards all the time, that's not gonna end very well. You got all of this in front of you that you can see. You know that it's like that in life sometimes. These things, we're not called to look back. These are great for seeing how far we've come, but we're not called to stay focused on what's there in our past, on what we've been through. Oh, wow, that was really hard. I see that valley back there. No. Friends, That's in the past. You can't change your past, but you can change your future. This is what God's got in your future. It's overflow. It's far abundantly more than could ever fit in the rear view. And I'm telling you, what God wants to do in your life is far bigger than anything that could fit in the past. God wants to bring you into overflow. He wants to bring you into the greatest partnership of all. Stand to your feet all across this room today. You know, I don't want to get stuck in the past. I don't want to get stuck in a place of disappointment or a moment of delay or a piece of distraction. I just want to trust God for the future He has for me. It's overflow 2016. We're here. We're here. I'm believing that. I'm declaring that. Imagine if Elisha had looked in the natural and run to try and save himself instead of seeing the hand of God. Imagine if Daniel had stopped praying on day 20 instead of praying through to day 21 and receiving his answer to prayer. Imagine if Isaac had looked in the natural and seen the drought. Makes no sense to sow. Things are tight this week. The pills are piling. Makes no sense to sow with my love, with my time. I'm too busy. No, no, imagine if he'd looked in the natural and not sown. He would have lost that hundredfold return. Imagine if Stephen had thought, oh, God could never use me in this small little place here. I got to wait until he positions me in a place of prominence before he could ever use me. No, no, no. I want to be like the man of God who sees in the spirit all the time and let God fight my battles for me. I want to be like Daniel, the prayer warrior, who would pray through knowing God sent the answer even if I don't see it yet. I want to be like Isaac, who continues to sow no matter where God's got me. I want to be like Stephen, who knows that God could use me wherever I may find myself, small or large. That's the kind of life I want to live, knowing the Holy Spirit could overflow in any one of those situations, that God could move in a moment, that He could break through in a second, that He could heal whenever. I want to be someone who partners with God no matter how long it takes, no matter where I am, no matter what it looks like. That's the partnership God's called us into.